You've got a Bible or a phone, I encourage you to turn to Ephesians chapter 4, continuing our studies from last week in a theme of togetherness, together. Today we're looking at together in serving. But I just want to, if it's okay, go back and read our reading from last week, because I think we need to read that to take us into what Paul is saying this week. So Ephesians chapter 4, and I'm going to read from verse 1. Headed Unity and Maturity in the Body of Christ. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, Paul says, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. Be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit. Just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father over of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who ascended is the very, is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole earth. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Can we pray together? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that today, now, here at Christ Church Baptist Church, you want to speak to us through your word, because your word is living and active. And Lord, as we said this morning, we want to be expectant of all that you want to say to us, that you would equip us to be the people that you've called us to be. And Father, we pray that you would be honored and glorified in everything that's shared this morning, and that we might be challenged and changed in our hearts, in our minds, as we listen to your word, in Jesus' name, amen. So we're thinking about unity together, another word for unity. And unity, it has to be said, and we talked about it last week, would be easy, wouldn't it, if we were all the same? If I only mixed with people like me, if I only worked with people like me, if I only went to a church where everyone was like me, then life would trundle along quite happily, wouldn't it? I'm not just talking about me. I think you'd probably say that too, wouldn't you? Life would be much easier if everyone was the same. But that's not how it is it? That's not how it is. We are all so very different. Let's just look around us. We are all so very different. And yet last week, we discovered that if we are to live lives that reflect the gospel, we are called to live in unity, and we're called to keep peace with all those who love God, all those who love God, not just those that are like us. Unity is not something that we hope for, we discovered, but it's something that we are given. It's a gift that we need to protect. And last week we began in Ephesians 4 discovering that unity is not our good idea that we've dreamt up here at CBC as a good way of doing church. It's not one that we've seen another church doing and we want to adopt. It's a gift from God, a gift that God has given to his church that we are to receive, we're to protect, we're to keep it, and we're to live in the reality of it. So we could say that the first six verses of Ephesians that we just read, that we looked at last week, were all about unity in the body of Christ. Paul explains, doesn't he? One body, one spirit, one faith. We all share together. He shows how we all have responsibility, and we were really challenged by this last, weren't we? Those words of humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another in love, are all how unity is worked out. But did you notice in verse 7, and that's why I wanted to read the whole lot, because in verse 7, Paul's tone changes. He moves from talking about the quality of the members of the church in unity to the function of the members of the church. He focuses in on individuals. The language changes completely from all of us, all the way up to the end of verse 6. And suddenly, but to each one of us, he says in verse 7. So if we were beginning to go down the route of unity equals lifeless, colourless uniformity, if we were starting to feel a bit like that, and interestingly, in our home group, we talked a bit about that last week. I don't know if you did, in terms of what unity looks like. If you were thinking it's sort of boring monotony, then Paul wants to stop us in our tracks and say, no, that's not what unity is. We've been called to keep the unity of the bond of peace, even as we live out our exciting and colourful diversity. How challenging is that? And that diversity that we have isn't just because we've all got unique cultures and temperaments and personalities, all created in the image of God, but it's also because we have a unique and different part to play in the church, each one of us in the body of Christ. How we live out this unity we've been called, how do we live out this unity that we've been called to when we are so different and so diverse? Well, Paul says you've got to start by looking at the giver, the one who gives the gifts to his body, to his church, the one who has called us to be his church. That's where we look if we want to discover how we live in diversity and unity. Paul says everything we have is a gift of grace from God. So this morning, we're going to have a look at three different areas. God, the gift giver. And then we're going to look at the nature of those gifts. And then we're going to look at the purpose of the gifts. So firstly, God, the gift giver. Well, Paul emphasizes here the way that the risen and ascended Lord gives gifts to the members of his body. And the grace that Paul refers to here isn't saving grace. We all have received saving grace if we know and love the Lord Jesus as our Lord and Savior. That grace that we receive because of his work on the cross for us, that's given to all who believe. Paul's talking here about what the preacher John Stott calls service grace. I think that's really helpful. It's grace that equips us to serve. It's a special grace that we need and that he gives us to serve the gifts that he's given us. And then Paul talks about this Psalm 68, which is why you need your Bibles open, because it all gets a bit ascended, descended, doesn't it? Paul quotes here a psalm of victory when they're celebrating God's rescue of his people. They're celebrating God's triumph over his enemies. And when that happened in battle, the king would take captive the prisoners, and he would take them back to, and he would keep all the spoils, all the treasures, all the rewards of war, he would keep to himself. Paul takes that picture and he kind of turns it a bit. He applies it to Jesus. Jesus, the victorious king who reigns, the one who came to earth, came to die, and rose again. Jesus conquered sin and death, didn't he? He defeated his enemies and then he ascended the conqueror to sit at the right hand of the Father. And Jesus didn't ascend to leave the world, but he ascended so that he could fill the world by giving us his gifts through the Holy Spirit. What does this tell us about the nature of our God? He isn't a kind of greedy king who keeps his victory or his possessions to himself, is he? He's not selfish. He's not self-seeking. He's not only concerned with what he can get. Our God is a generous God. He is a giving God. Everything we have been given comes from him. He is the one who gives and gives and gives again. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, says James. God demonstrated, didn't he, self-sacrifice when he gave his only son. God gave up everything for us. And when we understand that, when we can grasp our amazing, generous God, when we can get that understanding of who the giver is, that'll inevitably shape how we receive the gifts that he gives to us and what we do with those gifts when we understand the giver. Just last week, we looked at how our oneness, our unity, our togetherness reflects the oneness of the God that we serve, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Paul's today saying that the gifts we receive, the gifts that we share, reflect our God, reflect our generous, open-handed God. In the way we behave, we reflect him as our oneness reflects him. So what about the nature of these gifts? Well, there are three places in Scripture where Paul teaches, aren't there, about spiritual gifts and talks about the body each time. Each time Paul rides in tandem, if you like, the gifts of the Spirit, the body, with this humility and love. Oh, wait, we saw that very much last week, didn't we? Because the gifts are never spoken of things of prestige, of things of status. They're not things that we seek after. They're not things that we boast about. So I want us just to listen to some of the references that Paul makes to the body. Paul says in Romans, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body. Even though we're diverse, we're unified, one body, each member belonging to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us." And then in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, a similar language. "Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body." I think we're getting the point, aren't we? Here in Ephesians as well. "So Christ gave himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up." The body that he's explained in Romans and in Corinthians. And I think this body image is really helpful as we explore what it means in terms of being together in serving. As we think about the nature of the gifts that we receive, we discover that each one is essential, but each one is different, just like the parts of the body. Every part different, yet every part essential in making up the body. And then when we understand our gifts in that light, we understand just how important each and every member is to the church, how valuable each and every member is. Well, I'm not going to spend time focusing on the gifts that are mentioned here. That's for you to explore in home groups. I encourage you to do that. If you look at the Bible study questions, the very last question lists the different gifts that you can find in the Bible and where to find them. And then there's a link, so you can go to a website where you can see an explanation of each of the gifts. If you're a home group leader, you might want to ignore all the other questions that were written and just go straight to the last one. Or you might just want to do it on your own, but it'd be a helpful way of exploring the whole area of gifts. These gifts that Paul does mention, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, they were crucial gifts for establishing the early church, particularly for equipping the church to serve and to grow in knowledge. And they're, of course, important for us today in our church, in the church, for leadership, for equipping. But so are every other gift that Paul mentions, that Paul identifies. But I want to take you again to that little phrase in verse 12. The gifts are to equip God's people for works of service. The gifts are to equip God's people for works of service. And this is Paul's mantra again and again. I know these particular gifts that we're talking about are for helping others to discover and use their gifts. But everyone has a part to play. That's what Paul's saying. By finding and using your gift, by us serving together, the body of Christ is built up. Unity is built and strengthened. Now, I love this word equipped that is used here. It's the verb that is used if you set a broken limb, you know, if you've broken your arm and it gets set back in its rightful place. Or it's a word for mending broken nets. And when you think about us, we're all broken people, aren't we? We're all dislocated and disjointed by sin, you could say. We are all in need of being restored. And so as the body is equipped, mended, if you like, set back in its proper place, there's a sense that we help and enable people to become what they're intended to be. Isn't that amazing? That together, we work together to be mended, to be made whole, as we serve and as we get ready to serve. Paul's language is all about construction, it's all about building, it's all about growing, it's all very positive, isn't it? Paul's brilliant at mixing his metaphors, isn't he, between bricks and limbs and buildings and bodies. But his point is the same every time, isn't it? We all need each other. We all have a part to play together. And this takes us to our final point about the purpose of the gifts. The purpose of God's gift, Paul says, is to bring his church to maturity. I wonder what Paul means when he talks about maturity. Well, I think as the church serves one another, as we serve one another and discover the joy and depth of God's plan for unity, we get built up, we get stronger, we become more mature. Built up in unity, but together we also get built up in our knowledge and our understanding of who God is, of the Son of God, Paul says, the one who is filling the whole universe. As together as we receive God's grace gifts, as we serve one another in the use of our gifts, we together become together the fullness of the whole measure of Christ. Get your head around that. That's why you need your Bible open, because these words are hard to understand, aren't they? But isn't that amazing that together, as we work together, as we serve one another, that's how the fullness of the whole measure of Christ comes to us. This means that we have a purpose as individuals that is far beyond just turning up on a Sunday morning for an hour at church. Jesus is inviting us to know him personally, to become like him, and to be those who have discovered their purpose and their meaning in life through the grace that he's given us, so that we together can discover the wisdom and the depths of God. Paul says this in Romans, "Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out." God is unsearchable. His ways are beyond our understanding. And yet, here, Paul says, together, as we work out what it's like to be body, as we work out what it means to serve one another, we move together towards knowing and understanding that unsearchable God. Wow. Why wouldn't you want to be together as together we are on that journey? That's what Paul says is maturity. And this maturity is so important, Paul says, because it stops us, in verse 13, being tossed about by waves of doubt and depression and disaster and disinformation. Maturity guards us from the lies that our world tells us. Maturity guards us from the lies that society tells us. Maturity guards us from the lies that might creep into our own minds and start telling us. Maturity stops us from being sidetracked from the truth, from being pulled away from what God says. It stops us from diluting our faith, from substituting our faith, or even from deserting our faith. But maturity, Paul says, cannot be attained on our own in isolation. There's no such thing as I can be a Christian but not go to church. Paul says, no. We need one another. We need one another so that together we can discover the depths of what are ours in Christ. And that's why Paul emphasizes the next bit of speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love to one another as the body of Christ is the way to maturity. So rather than being spiritually immature and easily deceived, we are to speak truth to one another with love so that together we can grow in maturity. That means we need to teach one another in truth, teach one another the truth about who God is. That means we need to know our Bibles, we need to study our Bibles, be familiar with what God says, what God's standards are. We need to guide and encourage one another away from sin, away from lies that creep in, away from the influence of the world by choosing to be brave and speak to one another in love. And that word love that Paul uses in verse 15, that's agape love. That's that self-sacrificing love that God has shown to us, that he calls us to reflect to those that we are in the church with. And that's where Paul lands, isn't it, in verse 16. He says, from him, the whole body, joined and held together with every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love. As the Holy Spirit is working in and amongst us, we are built up in love as each part does its work. Paul says, as each part does its work. As we discover our gifts, as we use our gifts, we grow stronger as a body and more like Jesus, our head. As we play our part. As we play our part as well, we reflect the character of our Saviour as we get to know him better. And I think as well, we then have this wonderful way of showing our world a completely different way of living, don't we? As we live in a completely sort of radical, countercultural way, really, that says, you before me, that puts others first, that works, lives in unity, even though we are so diverse and different. We say something to our world about our God, don't we? So trying to draw a few of these things together as we come to a close. Paul has reminded us of the magnanimous nature of our God. He is a gift-giving God. He is our generous, holding nothing back, Heavenly Father. Maybe we need that to sink in for us this morning. But when we think about God's gift and him being a giving God, I'd like you to think just for a moment about the fact that each one of us are a gift to the church. We as individuals are a gift to this church. Yes, I did say that. I'm not just talking about the gifts God's given us to share with one another, but Paul is saying here that we also is saying here that we are a gift to the church because God has given us one another. That makes you a gift to our church family. So you can honestly say to the person next to you, I'm God's gift to this church. So why don't you do that now? I am God's gift to this church. And if you find that a bit hard, why don't you tell the person next to you that you are God's gift to this church? Why don't you? You know what? Sadly, often we don't see ourselves as a gift, do we? I wonder even if you're struggling as you said that, because often we don't see ourselves as a gift. We don't see ourselves as useful to others, do we, let alone to God? But as we think about unity, as we think about serving together, please hear today that you are both a gift and you are useful, whatever age or whatever stage of life you might be in. You're a precious gift to this community, and you are precious to God. And this is really, really important for us to grasp if we're going to understand unity and we're going to understand togetherness. Because if the outworking of that is that every part is missed when they're not here, that is, you are missed if your gift is not being shared in the body. But crucially, you are missed and valued because you are you and you are a gift to this community. We need each other to grow. That's the point of this sermon. I hope that's come over a bit. We need each other to grow and to mature. So when one of us is missing, that process is being hindered. Or when we hold back, whether because we're too shy or we're scared of failure or whatever our reason might be from sharing our gifts, then our community as a whole misses out, doesn't it? Because we all have a unique part to play within our community. In our uniqueness, in our diversity, we are all called to serve. And this is not reserved for people who are up the front serving us. It's not for those. It's not reserved to those who are paid by the church. In all of our diversity and uniqueness, we are all, every one of us, called to be ministers of God's love to one another. Minister means servant. We are all called to serve one another. And of course, our example is Jesus, isn't it? Who wraps a towel around his waist, stoops down, and washes his disciples' dirty, dusty feet. And when Jesus had finished washing his disciples' feet, he says these words, and they're for us to hear this morning. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. You also should serve one another. You also should love one another. I've set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them. This is Jesus. This is Jesus, our head, the one to whom we're all connected, Paul says, and the one we're all called to follow. The head is the one who holds the whole body together, isn't it? Jesus is the head. We're invited into a personal relationship with Jesus. And so we come full circle, if you like. We come into a relationship with the risen and ascended Lord. We discover we're part of his amazing family, his amazing body, his church. And as we grow in unity with others through receiving his gifts, loving and serving others in our diversity, we deepen our knowledge and our understanding of our risen, ascended Savior. Paul says, and from him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. I pray that would continue to be our experience here as a church family. Amen.